Well, I'm not so much into reality TV shows. I know maybe some of y'all are, some of you aren't, but there is one in particular that I love. It's one of my favorite TV shows. It's The Amazing Race. Have you ever seen it? It is a great show. It is where you have teams of two people competing against other teams of two, and they go around the world and they compete. And it's an intense competition, but it's fascinating as you watch all these different places around the world where they go. And as you can imagine, in their competition, it's stressful because the prize is $1 million. And so they're going to do whatever they can to win that $1 million. Well, in season 4, I remember the episode where Brendan and Rachel were racing. And amidst all the pressure that they're feeling, all of a sudden, Rachel cracks. And tears begin to stream down her face. And she says, "This race was supposed to be fun and good." I don't know about you, but I think that's how a lot of us are running the race we're on right now. We think that this life was supposed to be fun and good. It's supposed to be what we want. It's supposed to turn out the way we want, right? And so we want it and expect it to be fun and good. But you see, if that's the race we're on, we're in the wrong race. Because the race that is, and it's frankly the race that most of us find ourselves in from day to day, it's the race of building our own kingdom. Building a kingdom for myself, you see. Where life can be comfortable. Where life can go well for me. Where there's peace and joy and everything works out. You see, what happens, friends, is when we run that race, what we find is instead of pursuing God and surrendering to Him, we give that up in a sense, and we cling to all these other things that are going to get us what we want in that race. So we pursue relationships with people for what they can give us. Many of us pursue a career that might be a very good career, but down underneath we're pursuing that career because of the lifestyle that it's going to give us. A lifestyle ultimately of comfort and peace and hopefully happiness. I mean, some of us pursue things like a success in all kinds of other forms. And it shows also how we spend our money. We buy things to bring happiness. And so if you were to look in from the outside, for many of us, you would see us running that race like Brendan and Rachel saying, "Wait a minute, this race was supposed to be fun and good. It's not the race I thought." But we are to run a race. It's a different kind of race. And in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews writes that we run this race with perseverance, this race that's been marked out for us. But it's not a race pursuing our kingdom. It's a race following the King into this new kingdom that He's brought for us. You see, friends, what you and I need when we come in here and why worship is so refreshing, and I pray that it is for you, is that we need to be reoriented around the ultimate race. Because we're so much pursuing our own race for our own kingdom, when we come into worship, all of a sudden we're confronted with the larger race that God's called us to run in. We're confronted with the God of all glory and majesty, and we come to see that He is the one who is satisfying, not all that other stuff out there. And so what you'll find as we walk through our liturgy this morning and as you see us in the Sundays ahead, there's an intentionality behind it. Because, friends, we're all racing for something, right? We're all wanting that race to give us something. But what we find when we come in here corporately to worship is we're confronted with the glory and majesty of the King, the one who came to bring in a radically different kingdom, His kingdom, that would set us free from pursuing all those different things that we pursue. The psalmist writes in verses 7 through 9 in Psalm 96, he writes, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." You see what worship does? It reorients our hearts around the one who is worthy of our worship, of our praise and adoration. He is to be worshipped, not all the other things that we find in this world that we run to. This is a taste of what abiding in Christ looks like. In this month of June, we're looking at Jesus' call to abide in Christ, to abide in Him. And as we come into worship, we're reorienting our hearts and our minds around the gospel so that we can come dependent not on the things of this world to build our kingdom, but we come surrendered to the One and dependent upon His kingdom to bring life in everything that we are longing for. What I love about this psalm, and that's why I wanted us to read it this morning, is that it declares who reigns. It declares that the Lord reigns. And do you know what that means? That you and I don't. But isn't that so often how we want to live our lives? I want to reign in my little kingdom of one, and I want it to be good and go well. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to do something far greater. He came to set us free from pursuing our own kingdom, that we would be entered into His glorious kingdom and see that He reigns. Because when we see that He reigns and we see His glory, we begin to realize that's what I'm ultimately longing for. Isn't it what you ultimately long for? There is nothing else, friends, that will satisfy your heart's longing than being confronted with the Savior who gave His life so that we could have life and be filled to overflowing with His fullness and grace. Jesus came to set us free from our own kingdom. You know why that's important to know? Because when our own little kingdom, when we're pursuing our own kingdom, guess what it produces? It produces people who are prideful, people who are arrogant, people who are self-centered and self-consumed. And you know as well as I do, when that becomes part of our lives, we respond out of that, don't we? And we respond out of control. I've got to control everything in my world, everything in my kingdom. And that produces fear and anxiety, doubt. It leads us into perfectionism and performance. Do you see what happens when we run the race pursuing our own kingdom? Friends, Jesus came to call us out of that kingdom. And that as we see that the Lord reigns, we would come and surrender to His kingdom. It's about our lives being centered around the gospel, not just what we experience here on Sunday mornings, but every day of our lives. This is a taste of what it looks like to live under the Lordship as Jesus reigns. And so the psalmist begins in verses 1 through 3. He writes, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." I mean, it's almost as if He cannot contain Himself, and He calls us as we come to worship to sing a new song. Is that how you came in this morning? Did you come in with a new song on your heart? Now, I know some of you probably did, but I know very well that some of you didn't. You may have come in here kicking and screaming because someone made you. My parents made me go. You may have come in here this morning just having had a fight with one of your kids in the car or your spouse. But you look at each other when you walk in these doors and everything is great. You may have come in here this morning under the heavy weight of burden or guilt and shame. And you think, how in the world can I come and sing a new song? There's no melody in my heart. Do you know why we can sing a new song? It's as we understand that the Lord reigns, that as He reigns, He is with us, reigning in all of those desperate, broken places where we find ourselves. He reigns in the midst of our fear, our anxiety, our doubt. He reigns in the midst of our pain and our sorrow. The Lord reigns. Friends, I need to know that. Because when I know that the Lord reigns, I can surrender control over those things. I can come as I am. And as I know He reigns, I know that He's got it. And that He's in the midst and that He knows what to bring me. And as I know all of that, guess what happens? I can begin to sing a new song, not because of my circumstances, but in spite of my circumstances, because I understand who my Savior is, that He came to be in the midst of all of those, and that He reigns. You see, when we come to sing a new song, it's a result of being confronted with God's unending grace. Another way we could put it is we're being confronted with His unending mercy. When I think about that, when I think about the whole idea of singing a new psalm, I think of Lamentations 3, verse 23. Here's what we read. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you need to hear that this morning? That His mercies are new every day. They really are. And I would say His mercies are new every minute of the day, not just when we wake up and get out of bed. But at 3 o'clock on a Thursday, when I'm wrapped up and consumed with my own self and pursuing my own kingdom so that I look good, I need to know that His mercies are new every day. Great is His faithfulness, who comes and meets me and forgives me and shows me something far greater, because He shows us His glory. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Friends, I want you to know, wherever you are this morning, the steadfast love of the Lord, His covenantal faithfulness, never ceases. As you remember that, as you meditate on that, as you reflect on that, watch how the Lord begins to produce in you a new song. It is glorious when that happens. So He says, come and sing a new song. And then He says, tell of His salvation from day to day. That's the proclamation of our lives. That our lives, because of His mercy and grace, would tell of His salvation from day to day. The only way that we can tell of His salvation is if we're living in His salvation, right? Is if we're living in it moment by moment, recognizing our brokenness, not coming with a pose on, but taking that off and being open and honest before God and before others so that we can receive His mercy. And friends, when we do, I'll tell you, we can't help but tell people of His salvation. And so this morning and each Sunday morning as we gather and worship together, we're being confronted with the beauty and majesty of our God. We're being reminded of His salvation and the grace that He comes to bring us. And in verse 3, it says that we declare His glory among the nations. It's one of my favorite passages when I think about worship, because that's what we're all about. What we do in here on Sunday mornings, anytime we gather, is we are declaring His glory among the nations. Do you know what I hope and pray every Sunday? That you all, that I, would be inviting my friends to come in here and worship. Oh no, not robbing them from another church. That's not what we're about. But bringing our friends who don't know the Lord, who haven't heard of His salvation, who haven't come to experience it, that they would come into this crazy church and all of our liturgy, and they don't understand it, they don't know what we're doing, but that they would come in. And I'll guarantee you, as they come in and experience it, what's happening is the glory of the Lord is being declared before their very eyes. And when the Lord is declared, salvation comes. He saves. The Lord reigns, and He saves. Friends, what I long for us is to be a community where we are inviting our friends, those who are lonely, those who are hurting, those who are longing to have their thirst quenched, and it's not been satisfied by anything out there, that they would come into these doors on a Sunday morning or any other time we come to worship, and they would taste and see how good the Lord is. Because the Lord reigns. He is God. And what we do as a community, as we gather together, as we declare His glory among the nations. But it's not just what we do on Sunday mornings. It's the call of our lives. Think about that greater call. When we understand that we're not running the race to build our own kingdom, but we're running in a greater kingdom, that our lives are lives that declare His glory. Because the forgiveness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ radiates through our lives. Think about that perspective when you walk out of here. Think about that perspective when you wake up on Wednesday. What would it be like to declare His glory? We can't declare a glory that we haven't been in the presence of, can we? But when we slow down and come before the glory of God and His Word, coming before Him in prayer, His glory changes our lives. That we would be about a far greater race than we ever imagined, and that's declaring His glory to the ends of the earth. Friends, in this psalm it says, "The Lord reigns." Where are you right now where you need to know today, right now, I need to know that the Lord reigns? You know what it means that He reigns? It means that He is the victorious King. He's conquered the enemy. He has conquered whatever you're afraid of, whatever fears and doubts, whatever anxieties. The Lord reigns. So when you feel like your life is out of control, I want you to remember, the Lord reigns. When you don't want to wake up because you fear what's ahead, because anxiety is so strong, I want you to know the Lord reigns. The enemy has been defeated, and praise God for that. When you are struggling with an illness, I want you to know the Lord knows and He reigns. He's not forgotten you. He reigns. And as the reigning King, He is with you, fighting for you, strengthening you, showing you His grace and mercy that it is new every morning. So as we continue in our worship, as we gather on Sundays ahead, as we go out into the week, I want you to remember the Lord reigns. And what we do here on Sunday mornings, we come to declare His glory. That as we exit here and go out into the world, our lives are transformed by having been in the presence of glory, and through His grace, that glory is radiated through our lives. Father, we lift this to You, that You would do the work that is above and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Thank You for calling us out of a race that's a dead end, and leading us into the most glorious race in Your kingdom, that You lead us in all perseverance and strength. Continue to show us Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.